Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. Each week, the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in finance take you beyond the numbers and hype, right to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, we're unpacking a new thought leadership piece from the CSO in the UBS Sustainability and Impact Institute, exploring how AI can improve life outcomes around the world. Now, you'll likely recall that the Sustainability and Impact Institute was founded in 2021 to contribute to the sustainability debate with a focus on actionable and timely contributions. The Institute's a collaborative effort with experts from across UBS's business divisions. Members strive to encourage objective and fact-based debate, provide new impulses for action, and identify innovations that will help shape our collective efforts and awareness about sustainability and impact. We're fortunate to once again be joined by one of the members today, Richard Miles, ESG analyst at the Institute, who's the author of this compelling piece of research into AI. It's a pleasure to welcome him back to the show. Richard, great to speak with you again. Let's start by talking a bit about the CSO remit and this report particularly. This is about taking a longer view. And I think what's really interesting in tackling the AI sort of topic is to look at the societal impacts, look at the prism of the opportunities, and I suppose the risks also for human capital, and to sort of approach this hot topic from that direction. It's not counterintuitive per se, but it's really interesting. It's slightly different. Tell me about how you kind of originated the idea of taking this perspective to look at AI at this time, Richard.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess the way that we look at human development in this report is as a sort of story of technology. So people often talk about general purpose technologies, things like electrification, the internet, and now AI being the latest one of those general purpose technologies. So these are technologies that have broad application. They can unleash self-reinforcing waves of change that impact civilizations' wealth, well-being, and social cohesion. And AI is the latest of those general purpose technologies with broad application. Because ChatGPT sort of came along in 2022, I think there's a lot of people who've probably studied AI for 20 years who kind of roll their eyes at sort of the dawn of AI commentary that spread in the wake of that launch a couple of years ago. But you know, the truth is that we are at an inflection point with AI, and that's primarily because it's become useful in a sort of unprecedentedly broad way. And as a result of becoming widely useful, it's becoming widely used. And the thing with these types of technologies is that they always tend to have sort of profound societal consequences. And these unfold, you know, not over years, but over decades. And so, you know, we're in the foothills of the AI rollout at the moment. There remains much uncertainty, but the decisions that we take as a society and as different stakeholders, financial, corporate, policymakers, those decisions taken in the next few years will decide whether the upsides of AI are fully realized, but also whether the risks are adequately mitigated. So, you know, we're looking for bold innovation, but that needs to be coupled with thoughtful deployment as well. And the way that we want to approach this from a sustainability perspective was looking at how AI is likely to impact human capital, what opportunities are there in the sort of education space, the productivity space, the health space, and what challenges are there, and how can those best be dealt with. And yeah, this is looking at it from the perspective of investors and corporates, because I think the key thing with technologies that they roll out is that if you don't seek to minimize the societal harms of those rollouts, then there is the risk of backlash. And we've seen that throughout history. And so I think investors, corporates who want to minimize their exposure to potential backlash, to potential regulatory waves, as policymakers look to kind of catch up to the technology and institute safeguards and sanctions and incentives, of course, I think, you know, that's what this report is about trying to sort of provide a roadmap to incorporating those societal risks in a thoughtful way into the AI rollout, and then ultimately mean that the gains are actually realized as fully as they could be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a super interesting jumping off point. And let's kind of tear into some of the detail. I just think it's really interesting to look at this notion that the sort of long-term investment potential must be linked to that societal impact. And the piece breaks down in all these different ways. You mentioned a couple already. You talked about health, productivity. But first, education. I thought it was instructive, you know, even if we, you know, turn to the executive summary right at the top of the piece, education first. And this idea of improving human capital starts with great education. Talk to us a bit about how education can and should perhaps, Richard, shape the space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the AI opportunity in education is very significant, potentially something about $200 billion in added value globally by 2025, according to one estimate. And I think people often think about AI in education as, you know, see people using it to do their homework for them, and there's sort of slightly dystopian elements. And you know, we often think about education bots, perhaps like those provided by Khan Academy. But actually, it's much, much broader than that. You know, the ability to provide personalized learning to students, to provide instant feedback, which can really create a lot of value. It's also about providing various support to teachers, from analytics, monitoring solutions, lesson planning, administrative support. I mean, this could enable the automation of sort of 20 to 40% of teachers' existing workloads. So that's helping to reallocate something like maybe 13 hours per week to activities that could better support students. So from a sustainability perspective, there's a really potentially powerful equalizing effect in terms of improving the opportunity to learn. So that's essentially referring to things like teacher quality, school safety, access to resources like infrastructure, up-to-date textbooks. And this is one of those really key channels through which children from higher socioeconomic groups are often enabled to outperform less privileged ones. And so what we're looking at with AI is this is a potential to broaden access to high quality education, high quality teaching materials, personalized learning, improving the productivity of teachers, and in potentially acting as a sort of moderator of the effect of socioeconomic status on educational outcomes.
Let's look next at the sort of productivity picture and the role that societally responsible AI could play in powering this transition, helping workers, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, to become more productive. I guess it's instructive, Richard, to really flag the potential here in stark terms, a doubling of the global economy. You know, that is the scale we're talking about. It is transformational, right?
There is a big expected boost to aggregate productivity. You know, estimates range. The shorter term ones looking through to 2030, looking at maybe a sort of boost of about between $13 and $16 trillion, you know, which is very, very significant. Obviously, over the longer term, some of those more optimistic numbers could come through, and which we can sort of discuss how that can be sort of best achieved later. But I think one of the keys is the disaggregated effects are going to vary very widely by geography, by sector, by individual task level. If we look at other modern major tech breakthroughs like electrification and the IT revolution, they tended to improve productivity quite slowly at first and only accelerated more rapidly after the sort of complementary technologies, the infrastructure, the business models had been sort of redeveloped. So yeah, IT upgrades, for example, typically take about 5 to 7 years before the full productivity benefits are realized. Every dollar spent on computer hardware required another $9 in software and training and business process redesign. So I think the key point here about AI is that yes, there is huge potential, but it's not just about, you know, rolling out one or two applications. It's about a much more fundamental sort of redesign of business models and also training to make sure that people are actually able to use AI most effectively.
Yeah, I think it's super important to highlight the time frame. And as you say, there's all these other corollary challenges that need to be addressed. And just to that point, you know, Richard, how important is it to listeners and indeed through the report, the readers of the piece, that, of course, AI represents this potentially transformational opportunity, but there are so many attendant challenges, aren't there? Whether we're talking about productivity or application, you know, we're only really at the start of the journey. We must underscore that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, I mean, sometimes it's easy to get swept up in the enthusiasm for AI, but I think some of the most interesting studies that we looked at in preparing this paper were the ones that, you know, show that AI could actually diminish performance in some cases. So, for example, we spoke to Fabrizio Dell'Acqua, who's the author of quite an important study on this topic called The Jagged Technological Frontier. And he found that when workers were using AI language model outputs uncritically for tasks that they weren't currently at least well suited for, things like, you know, evaluating contrasting information delivered in different formats to arrive at a correct conclusion, they actually saw productivity go down. And he called the phenomenon falling asleep at the wheel. So I guess there's sort of three broad conclusions that we take from this. One is that, you know, humans need to remain alert when they're using AI. They can't just become rubber stamping machines. Second, that understanding where AI is useful and where it's less useful is going to be increasingly important. And third, actually that in sort of, I think, most complex value chains, humans and AI together are still likely to be more effective than either alone.
Let's talk a little bit about the health picture. You mentioned this right at the top, Richard, and you know, there is this idea that we could potentially collectively be on the cusp, I don't think it's overstating it, of a revolution in healthcare, healthcare metrics and so forth, powered by AI. But again, all sorts of challenges. Talk to us a little bit about the puzzle, solving the puzzle that is health and AI. And there are all kinds of issues in here, some of them somewhat thorny, safety concerns, the trust issue. Talk to us about what the report's kind of take was on the health picture.
Health is an area where AI has huge potential. I think we would sort of divvy that up into sort of four key areas. One is sort of delivery of health treatment. Another one is diagnostics. Third, drug discovery. And fourth is actually the kind of preventative space, disease prevention. Now, I think it's important to state, you know, AI is already being used quite widely in healthcare, but there is so much more potential. And the growth in this space is expected to be very substantial, going from some like 11 billion in 2021 to nearly 200 billion by 2030. So this is a huge potential market. And I think the other thing to bear in mind is that these gains are really sorely needed. You know, we have huge health worker shortages around the world. They have 15 million, which is about 20% of the total in terms of the health worker shortage. You know, if we look at developed countries, we've got aging populations, those systems are under particular strain. So, you know, in the people that we spoke to at the cutting edge of using AI in healthcare, you know, they said that the most important thing that AI will do is about expanding operating capacity. So, I mean, to give one stat, Guru Sivaraman, who runs ICT at University Hospital Zurich Foundation, told us that caregivers currently spend just 20 to 30% of their time on top of licensed activities. So that's a surgeon doing surgery or a nurse actually treating a patient. So using AI to increase that amount of time spent on actually, you know, treating patients, doing the things that they've been trained to do, is going to be absolutely essential to sort of increasing the ability of health systems to actually cope with the increasing strains of those aging populations. But going back to what you were asking about sort of safety and privacy and trust, I mean, these, I think, are probably the three essential factors to a successful rollout of AI in healthcare. We need to roll AI out at scale, but maintaining safety whilst achieving scale is very complex. So the more variables you introduce in terms of different markets, different demographics, different data models, different hospital designs, different equipment, the greater the number of variables, the greater the possibility that the AI model, which performs well in one setting or in training, kind of runs into difficulties out in the wild. So you've got problems of sort of efficacy that you need to sort of keep an eye on. Then you've got major problems with bias. So, you know, treatment efficacy can vary very significantly across different groups of different ethnic groups. So, you know, one medication that would be correct for one patient would be incorrect or even dangerous for another. And similarly, algorithms, if they're trained predominantly on data from one ethnic group, they may not function as well for others. So you need to sort of counter that risk by obtaining large amounts of data from each different subgroup to ensure that their needs and characteristics are represented. Otherwise, you run into trouble. And the third point on safety is it's not a one and done. You know, you need ongoing measurement and monitoring. You're looking for latent risks, you know, model drift, when models can deviate from their training over time. You need to have sort of the sharing of data in central repositories. So, and that needs to be in sort of comparable standardized format, so that helps facilitate monitoring and transparency. And that can sort of help engender trust that the models are working as intended.
Now, Richard, you mentioned a few things there which I think are interesting. This idea of trying to ensure a just AI, it sort of runs through, there's a thread that runs through a number of your remarks, particularly about the health space, but more broadly. And I think some of these critical areas, how are we ensuring adequate oversight? How are we guaranteeing that these processes are properly accountable when the pace of development is so rapid? And I think what's clever about the report is it looks at, quite forensically, this idea of the social impact of AI, socializing it. And it actually comes up by the conclusion with a pretty kind of, well, given the complexities, a very concise kind of list of key considerations to deliver on those. Talk to us a bit about how the backdrop that you've described led you and your colleagues to kind of formulate, if you like, this way of best ensuring a socially cohesive and inclusive AI.
So the steps are, you know, they're not exhaustive, but they're aimed at sort of providing a roadmap so that when AI is rolled out, it's done so in a thoughtful way. It's done so in a way that doesn't sort of build in future problems. It future-proofs the business models and their profits against the risks that stem from sort of an irresponsible use of AI, which then engenders, you know, the sort of regulatory response and societal backlash that we want to avoid if we're going to get the most out of AI going forward.
And you can read and explore all about these seven steps that are intended to help investors, corporates and regulators map a route to a safe, sustainable, socially beneficial rollout of AI by delving in more detail into the report. And Richard, we should add, this is very much the tip of a kind of an iceberg of coverage from all across UBS, as well as this CSO report. I know the CIO has also weighed in. There's so many more resources to look at if this piques people's interest, aren't there?
Yeah, there's our colleagues in CIO have produced an excellent report which looks at AI from a more kind of investment perspective, looking at the kind of sector impacts, along with projecting the investment opportunity and the market opportunity from AI. So I do urge your readers to check that out as well.
Richard Miles, author of the report, bringing us to the end of this edition of The Bulletin with UBS. Do explore more about the Institute and its work and delve into the AI report, which Richard has been telling us about, by heading to ubs.com/sustainability. And check out that UBS CIO report, which is called Artificial Intelligence, Sizing and Seizing the Investment Opportunity. That was published last month. As ever, you can listen again and explore more about this program at monocle.com or follow the show and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This is The Bulletin with UBS. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks for listening.